Welcome back to Capstone News Now. I'm your host, Jordan Laporta, and I'm here in studio with Crimson White columnist Kyle Campbell. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I really appreciate you coming in and talk to us. But even more than that, I really appreciate the article that you wrote today. And for those of you who have not read it, the article's title is Want to Know What Budget Cuts Look Like? Furlough Workers Now in C. And you can read that on the Crimson White's website, which is cw.ua.edu. I really appreciated this article because, as a native Alabamian, the big story over the summer was the general fund budget hole. For those of you who are not from Alabama, or for those of you who are not quite acquainted with the political situation, the state has a $250 million shortfall. And there are different political factions that are trying to figure out different ways to fill it. But it was just really nice to see a student talk about this issue that's not one of the more popular political or sexy political issues that people are talking about. So the argument that you basically make is that some of these budget cuts that are being proposed, particularly by the Republicans in the House and Senate, are going to have some serious negative effects. Why don't you walk us through the basics of that argument, how you think it'll affect the state?
Sure. Well, first of all, I make the argument for the Republicans because the Republicans are the supermajority and they're the ones making every decision in the legislature currently. So that said, some of the consequences of the budget that the House passed, the Senate did not pass a budget in the last special session, but some of the consequences of the House budget would be all driver's license offices except for four, one in Huntsville, one in Birmingham, one in Montgomery, and one in Mobile, would close in the state of Alabama because we wouldn't be able to fund them. So imagine someone lives in Tuscaloosa or worse, somewhere like Greene County, where they might have to drive an hour and 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours, to the closest driver's license station and have to wait in the lines much worse than the lines are currently. And I can tell you from experience, Madison County is already pretty bad about that.
Okay, so that's the argument that you make, and I'm gonna sit here and play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Because there are a couple other proposals that are on the table.
Sure.
From various different factions about how to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans, the Tea Party, conservative Republicans, I'm just going to use that term, Tea Party or conservative, to talk about those and not Bentley, have cut because they felt like some of their other solutions that they want are not going to happen because they've pledged not to raise taxes. So one of the quote-unquote conservative solutions on the table is to combine the budget. And just to walk through this argument for those, once again, not extremely familiar, Alabama is one of three states in the country that has a bifurcated budget process. That means that there are two different budgets. There's the general fund budget, and then there's the education trust fund, which funds schools, all that good stuff, K through 12 schooling. Now, 85% of the money that is paid in taxes goes to one place or another before the legislature even meets or gets to vote on it. So what people on the conservative side are saying is, let's unearmark this money, and when we have surpluses in the education trust fund, use that to pay off some of the gaps in the general fund budget. Use the money that we already have, but just reallocate it to places where it's lacking. How would you respond to that argument?
I would respond with a vehement disagreement there. The reason that earmarks exist in Alabama, and yes, we do earmark more money than most states, and removal of some earmarks is definitely a possibility, and it could be a positive solution. That said, combining the budgets is not a good idea. I'll address earmarking first. Earmarks exist so that people in Alabama, when they vote on a tax, and we have to vote on most taxes in Alabama, will know where their money's going. So if they're going to vote to raise taxes on gas, they're going to know that that's going to highway funding. The whiskey tax, if I'm not mistaken, goes to something related to mental health. Marriage licenses go to domestic violence shelters and things of that nature. So you know that when you're spending money, when you're paying the government, you know exactly what you're getting, and that is the function of an earmark. Now, as to separate budgets, the Education Trust Fund is down 20% in funding since 2008. They like to say that we have a surplus, but that's not the case. There was a Rolling Reserve Act implemented by the current legislature in the last session, the 2010 legislature, that required the Education Trust Fund to set aside some money for in case there is an emergency. Now, that isn't necessarily a bad idea. But to say that just because they can't spend some of the money that they were already allocated, which is less than what was allocated in 2008, does not mean that there is a surplus. The general fund has to address its own issues, and education, what really worries me about the idea of a combined budget is that, in my opinion, the people who are in the legislature currently would not treat education in the way that they should, you know, again, you know, according to my philosophy. And there are several examples of that. I mean, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, Sam Brownback from Kansas, they have all cut education by incredible amounts. And I'm very glad that the legislature doesn't have the power to do that now.
So now a couple responses to that. The first thing that comes to my mind is when you look at a lot of lists for top states in terms of educational performance, and a couple of the lists that I've seen, Massachusetts is typically the top performer, or if not, top three. Massachusetts does have a single streamlined budgeting process. So do you feel like maybe if the budgets were unearmarked, that the voters of Alabama could have a Democratic check on their representatives? For example, if the legislature decides to take a ton of money away from the education budget to use it to fill some of these holes, and does it in a way that compromises the educational quality that voters' children will be receiving, do you think that democracy could potentially serve on a check to vote those people that don't prioritize education out?
Well, sure, there could be a check on that, but kids only have so long to learn how to read. And taking off a year of potential education. I mean, the thing we should talk about here is Alabama's not Massachusetts in a couple ways. One, teachers in Alabama have to pay for toilet paper in a lot of their schools. They have to pay for supplies. They have to make sure that poor kids in their classes have snacks when the rest of the kids have snacks. There are a lot of problems that teachers in Alabama face that teachers in Massachusetts don't. And to say that, I don't think there's any correlation at all between the fact that Massachusetts has a unified budget and their education performance, because their legislators value education more than ours do, apparently. And, you know, there's also the major issue of them having much more money to work with in the fact that Massachusetts is a significantly wealthier state than Alabama. I think we're comparing apples and oranges here.
So now moving on to another argument, another opposition to tax increases, one that really is not going to happen. Unless the governor, I haven't read specifically the special instructions for this new special session, but chances are if they're anything like the previous ones, they're going to exclude another possibility for the future maybe, which is gambling. There are a lot of states, including ones that surround Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, that have lotteries that have some allocation that goes to fund education specifically, or maybe if to fit Alabama's needs in the future to help close gaps like this in the general fund so we don't end up with $250 million shortfalls. What do you think of the possibility of including some type of state lottery to increase revenue as opposed to just regular taxes?
Well, the Democrats have been pushing for an education lottery for a very, very long time. I think the difference between that and the lotteries that are being proposed currently would be that this is a general fund lottery, which would pay for the other budget. Now, that is definitely an option, but it's an option that can only be explored for the next fiscal year, because that is something that Alabamians would have to vote on. So while that could be a solution for the future, and it's one that I would look at, you know, there, for all of the moral issues that people have with gambling, there's a slight, I don't find it, you know, necessarily ethical to say that I have a moral issue with this, but we're going to do it just because we have to have the money. Although I guess some people have moral issues with taxes, and I wish that they would look at that way. But it doesn't make sense to me for people who have been so against it in the past to say that we're going to use it now, but I'm fine with that. At this point, I'll do whatever it takes, but gambling, again, cannot be used because we don't have the time to call an election for a constitutional amendment before the fiscal year starts on October 1st. So that is a solution for the future. Another, and you may be about to bring this up, but another possible solution that was floated was to take money from the Porch Creek Band of Indians. And they have offered to fill our general fund hole, you know, not all of it, but, you know, the immediate need that we have right now to avoid the major closures of all our state parks and driver's license offices, et cetera. And that is something that I think personally probably should be on the table. But I don't think it's the best idea. I think the best idea is to raise taxes in places where we have regressive tax codes relative to other states, or where we could use the revenue without hurting a significant majority of Alabamans.
So now we've kind of walked through, for those of you joining us, the potential different solutions, whether you agree with them or not. You got cutting, you've got raising taxes, you've got gambling lottery, which wouldn't be on the table this year because per constitutional regulations, it would have to go to a referendum, and then also basically taking a bailout from the Porch Creek Indians. Sitting and talking about these arguments is all fine and good, but so what do you think is actually going to happen? Because we've got really three or four different distinct factions based on how you look at the situation. You've got Governor Robert Bentley with a coalition of some Democrats and a few Republicans that are opening the door to raising taxes in very select areas with some combined budgeting efforts. You've got the conservative Republicans in the Senate and in the House that are going to want to cut and combine budgeting. And then you've got the gambling section, which is pretty much lost, at least this term, led by Del Marsh. What combination of those three different things? Because it's going to have to be some type of combination of these proposals to get through and make at least most people happy. What do you see as the most likely result in this special session, if they resolve it in this special session?
Well, I sure hope they do, because I tell you what, a government shutdown on October 1st would be a disaster. But and again, I'm speaking to what I think probably will happen and not what would be the best outcome in my opinion. But I think the use tax, which is about 4% of the funding for the Education Trust Fund, is going to be moved to the general fund. I think that there are going to be some taxes raised in certain places. I think there was a lot of the business privilege tax. There was an exemption that was put up by the GOP for a lot of people at the bottom, but would raise how much business privilege tax people at the top would pay, and that would raise quite a bit of revenue. Not anywhere near enough as we need, but it would be a good start. I think we'll end up passing the cigarette tax this time around, which was killed with bipartisan support in the last special session. I could run through line item, but I think the best way to put it is that there is going to be a combination of tax increases and, somewhat of combined budgets, but more in the way that the governor wants. I don't think we get a unified budget. I don't think that we end up un-earmarking a significant amount of the money. I think we could change the earmarks, but I don't think we end up un-earmarking it. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that earmarks are just popular among people who vote for taxes.
Well, it sounds like, based on your prognostication, and I agree with a lot of it, having been around Montgomery quite a bit myself this summer, is that pretty much everybody's going to get a little bit of what they want, but nobody's really going to be happy. Mm-hmm. But thus is politics. And Kyle, his article, Want to Know What Budget Cuts Look Like, Furlough Workers Now in Sea, is available to read on the Crimson White website, which is cw.ua.edu. Thank you very much for coming on, Kyle. Great conversation.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Other side of this break, we'll have more of today's top headlines. You're listening to Capstone News Now, the voice and alternative news source for the University of Alabama.